Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
And as we continue praying, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you would say you're not a Christian, that you're on a journey, that you're still wondering, investigating, speculating, the Father would delight to hear you pray to Him too. If you would just pray, Father, I don't know what I believe about you, but will you show me the truth about Jesus? Father, the Father honors those who draw near to Him. If you would draw near to Him, He will draw near to you, and He will progressively begin to show you how much He loves you and what He's done to demonstrate His love for you in the sacrifice and death and resurrection of Jesus. Father, we are enamored with you. We are grateful for salvation today, for the reality that we are forgiven people, not just from what we've done in our past, but we are forgiven today, we are forgiven tomorrow, and we're forgiven all the way to heaven because of what you've done for us through the blood of Jesus, and we exalt you today. And Father, we pray that you would make our lives so compellingly curious that our lost neighbors and friends and family members and our world would ask us what it means to follow you. Use us as agents of the gospel. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you, if you will, to go ahead and turn in your Bibles or your devices to the book of John. And we began a series last Sunday through the Lord's Prayer. And one of the things that we said at the very beginning of last Sunday is typically we think of the Lord's Prayer as being from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." But we wanted to clarify last week that that's actually the disciples' prayer. That's a prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And we're in a month-long series in John chapter 17, which is a long recorded prayer of Jesus. Last week, we set the context of it, of when Jesus prayed it. We looked at the first five verses of this prayer, and today we're going to be looking at a few more verses. As we dive in this morning, before we do that, I do want to kind of affirm and encourage you, building off of something Jessica said earlier, this Wednesday night is our first big small group of the summer. And if you are a guest or a visitor or you've been hanging around North Star for a while, there is no better way to meet folks at North Star than to come to big small group. We will feed you. We'll come in here. We'll have a time of teaching. Then we'll break up into table discussions for the rest of the evening. The kids have a great time together during some organized kids activities and childcare. And so it is a wonderful opportunity. But we do need you to RSVP to that. And so you can go to the point on our website. You can find the event. You click on the event and you just RSVP. That helps us know how much food to have ready for everybody. It also knows how many childcare workers we will need for that. So it would help us if you'll RSVP for that. And then also, if you are visiting this morning, this is your first time, or you weren't here last week, you're probably wondering, what's the space stuff up on stage? And we had our kids camp this past week. It was an amazing event. We had so much fun. We had about 180 children register and participate throughout the week. And then Thursday night, we had an assembly, invited all their parents in, and we had an opportunity to eat supper with them, and then came in here, shared the gospel, and the kids got to sing. It was a phenomenal event. so stinking proud of our children's ministry leaders and staff and volunteers. Our church does kids camp well. And so thank you so much for those of you who volunteered, served, and prayed for those this past week. It was such a wonderful event. And if you're here this morning, as a result of your child coming to kids camp this past week, we're so thankful that you came back. So thank you for being here, and we hope that you'll continue to come and just check out what North Star is about. So let's dive in together, and we're going to look at John chapter 17, and we're going to begin, let me get there in my Bible, we're going to begin in about verse 6, but let me show you the outline that we're working from. So last week, we looked at the first few verses, and in verses 1 through 5, Jesus prayed that the Father would glorify him for a specific purpose. And then today, we're going to be looking at the reality that Jesus prayed for those that are his. And then next week, we'll look at Jesus prayed that they will be kept from evil. And then finally, we'll be looking at Jesus prayed for their sanctification, mission, unity, and reunion. Another way of like splitting up this long prayer of Jesus is that in verses 1 through 5, Jesus prays for himself. In verses 6 through 19, Jesus prays for his disciples. And then in verse 20 through 26, Jesus prays for those who will become his disciples through the witness of his current disciples then. So let's look at verses 6 through 10 this morning. It says, I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given is from you, because I have given them the words you gave me. They've received them, and they have known for certain that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine, and I am glorified in them. So let's break this down a little bit this morning, and let's just see what it is that Jesus is praying for and why Jesus' prayer shortly before he is crucified matters so much to how we live our life and how we relate with the Father in our own prayers and our only daily obedience. So the first thing that we want to look at this morning is Jesus mentions in verse 6, I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. What did Jesus mean by I have revealed your name? He's praying to the Father, so he's saying, Father, I've revealed your name. It's more than just a name. It's more than just revealing the name that the Father prefers to be addressed by. So we know in the Old Testament, and we Livy and Joy even shared it this morning about I am, the name of God, Yahweh, the holy name of God that Jews would not pronounce. And even when they would write it, they would only put the consonants there. So Jesus is revealing not just the name as in what is written or what he's addressed by, but when Jesus says, I've revealed your name, he's talking about a broader concept. He's talking about the reality that he has helped reveal the character of his Father. He's helped reveal the identity of his Father. He's helped reveal the will of his Father. So when he says, I have revealed your name, Jesus has fully introduced his disciples to who his Father is. He's been intent during his 3 years of ministry to introduce his disciples to knowing who God is, knowing God's character, knowing God's word, knowing God's will, knowing the right identity of God. And so as Jesus is praying, and we have this record of his prayer, which is so magnificent that we have the record of a prayer of our Messiah, his conversation with his Father shortly before he is crucified. Even as Jesus is praying, Jesus is also proclaiming, because obviously John the Apostle heard this prayer. The other disciples heard this prayer. We don't know if Jesus, as he prayed and began to say, Father, if all of them bowed their heads suddenly and they're standing around listening to Jesus praying, or if John himself is the one that heard, and through the Holy Spirit's enablement, he recollected and wrote down the very words of his prayer. We don't know the physical situation of this prayer, but we have it. And what we have is that Jesus is praying and Jesus is proclaiming truth even as he is praying. He's revealing the nature of his relationship with his Father. He's revealing to his disciples what he's praying for so that his disciples would understand what they should be praying for later. And as a result, he's also revealing what we should be praying for later. So as Jesus is praying in full awareness that he will be crucified in just a few short hours, he's thinking through the last 3 years of his ministry with these disciples, and he's confident that he has introduced them to his Father. He says, Father, I have, past tense, revealed your name to those that you have given me. So they knew of God from the Old Testament. They knew the Scriptures, but yet they had not yet known God until Jesus fully revealed his Father to his disciples. And that in and of itself is part of the struggle that the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests and the Sadducees had. They knew of God. They knew the Scriptures backwards and forwards, but they refused to believe in the one that the Father sent. So they weren't able to say, we know God. We know who God is. So Jesus is fully revealing the Father to his disciples. And this idea of the Father's name has been pretty consistent throughout Jesus' ministry. And you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus says, I have come in my Father's name, and yet you don't accept me. In John chapter 12, verse 13, which was Palm Sunday, what was it that was said about Jesus? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then in John chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus had said, the works that I do in my Father's name testify about me. And in the disciples' prayer, how did he teach them to begin that prayer? Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. So when Jesus says to the disciples, through his prayer to the Father, I have revealed your name to those that you gave me. This is something that Jesus had been doing all along in his ministry, is revealing the character, the identity, the will, the person of the Father so they could step into relationship with him. You see, the primacy of Jesus' intent during his ministry was to bring glory to his Father, to make much of his Father. He's always pointing back to his Father. And last week, as we looked at the first five verses of John chapter 17, what we learned is the Father was also glorifying the Son. The Son was glorifying the Father. The Father was glorifying the Son. And so it's Jesus' primacy to bring glory to the Father throughout his ministry. One scholar said the gospel writers make the effect of Jesus' ministry plain, and that was the glory and praise of his Father. Now, after Jesus ascends into heaven, the disciples, the apostles, are going to continue to make the name of the Father known to the lost world, first to Jews and then to Gentiles. And we have an interesting example of that in Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. Paul and Barnabas had been on a missionary journey. They come back and they're giving a report of what God did on that journey. And beginning in verse 12, it says, the whole assembly became silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul describe all the signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. And after they stopped speaking, James responded, "Brothers, listen to me." And he addresses Peter by his name, Simeon, here. Simeon has reported how God first intervened to take from the Gentiles a people for his what? Name. So James the Apostle was referring back to the experience that Peter had with Cornelius. When the Holy Spirit saves Cornelius and all of his household, and he refers to this moment and he frames it up as that God the Father is taking from the Gentiles, from the vast population of the Gentiles, he's taking from them some who would be a people for his name. And then it continues, and the words of the prophets agree with this as it is written. And now he's going to quote from Isaiah and from Amos. It says, "After these things, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent." Speaking of rebuilding the nation of Israel, "I will rebuild its ruins and set it up again so that the rest of humanity," now the attention shifts from the nation of Israel to the Gentiles, to non-Jews, "so that the rest of humanity may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my" what? "Name, declares the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago." And so after Jesus ascended, it continued to be the disciples' mission to make the name of God known among all the nations, to make the character, the identity, the will of God known. And God's will is most fully expressed through the sending of his son Jesus. And so they're going to preach the gospel and they're going to draw people to know Jesus Christ, because that's how God's name is being made known. And then you might notice that in verses 6 through 10, there's a lot of gave and givens there. Do you notice that? It's almost like a tongue twister when you read through it. "I've revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They've kept your word. Now everything you have given is from you, because I have given them the words you gave me. They've received them," and so on and so forth. There's lots of gave and given. So there's two different subjects here that we want to look at. First thing in this gave and given is he gave people and he gave words. So the Father gave people to the Son, and he also gave words to the Son. And what the Son is responsible for doing is serving and revealing the name of God to the people that the Father gave him. The Son is also responsible for giving the words of the Father to the people. And so let's look at the reality of this. So here's some things that we can say about people and words. The people, we're told they belong to the Father. He gave them to Jesus. They've kept the Father's word. They know that everything the Father gave Jesus was from the Father. They were prayed for by Jesus. And Jesus is glorified in them. So who are these Jesus people? Who are these people that the Father gave to Jesus? Is it the entire world? Or is it believers? Or those who would believe? So here's some interesting ways that Jesus would phrase it earlier in his ministry. You can see this Jesus people. In John 10:26, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees. He says, "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep." And then in John 8:47, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you don't hear them is that you are not of God." And in John 18:37, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." So these are Jesus people. So when it talks about the Father has given people to Jesus, Jesus has referred to them in different ways throughout his ministry. So what do these verses mean? Well, the next slide, it communicates to us that not being of his sheep is why people do not believe. If you're not one of Jesus' sheep, you're not going to believe in Jesus. We're also learned that not being of God is why people don't hear, don't receive the gospel. And finally, we learn that being of the truth is why they listen in the first place, because they are of the truth. And so we look back at John chapter 17, verse 6. I've revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. Now you're probably thinking, what? This sounds like Calvinism. What are we talking about? And if we had another 3 or 4 hours, we could dive more into this. But profoundly, what all of this means today, that if you're here and you love Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, you know what that means? It means that you are one of those that the Father gave the Son. And there was nothing in and of your own self that commended you to the Father. It's nothing about your birth. It's nothing about your accomplishments in the past or what you're going to do in the future. It's just the very mercy of God that we're all here today. That somewhere along the way, someone that God sent told me, told you, and began sowing seeds of the gospel in our life that took root. It was good soil and has borne fruit. And so we are here today to say that we belong to the Father. And the reality of this is that we have belonged to the Father. You are His. And here's why this is a significant encouragement. If you're here today and you have surrendered your life to Jesus and you're walking in fellowship with Him and you love Him and you know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus and that you have faith in Christ, John chapter 10, verse 27 is an amazing promise for you, because Jesus continues what He said in verse 26 that we quoted earlier about His sheep hear His voice. He says, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." What does that mean? That means that if you've placed your faith in Christ, it means you've been drawn to Christ by the Father, and that your salvation is eternally secure. It means that no one is going to come in and take you out of relationship with the Father. It also means you can't take yourself out of relationship with the Father. Because here's the reality, is that as much as you may disobey and as dark as your life may get, you are still the son or the daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And what keeps you in relationship with the Father is not your good works. It's Christ's blood. It's His sacrifice. It's His death. And it's His resurrection. Your eternal salvation is secure in what Christ has done for you on the cross, not on what you do for yourself, to walk in fellowship with God. And that is good news. We call it the gospel. It's not dependent on our works so that no one can boast, but it's completely based on the goodness and the mercy of the Father by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. But we might ask, well, this is all incredible news, but it looks like Jesus is just praying for His disciples then. It looks like He's just praying for the 11 and the host of other people who have been following Jesus at this point. What about us who came later? Well, unequivocally, Jesus is also referring to me. He's referring to you. How do we know this? In John chapter 17, verse 20, later in Jesus' prayer, and we'll get there, but later in Jesus' prayer, Jesus says, I pray not only for these. And I wonder if Jesus at that moment just kind of looked around at the disciples who were around him as he was praying. Father, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. So how did you come to believe in the name of Jesus? Was it a grandparent? Was it a parent? Was it a youth minister, a pastor, a friend, a family member, a podcast, a book, scripture? How did you come to believe? The reality of it is that the disciples around Jesus made the name of God known to others. They introduced others into a love relationship with his Father through faith in Jesus. And those early disciples made more disciples. And people have been making disciples of Jesus for 2,000 years. And we sit here in this room because a disciple of Jesus made the name of God known to you. Who will you make the name of God known to? How will God use your little life to continue to bring glory to the Father and glory to the Son by introducing others to knowing who Jesus is and that salvation is found in no other name but the name of Jesus? John 17, 26 says that Jesus prayed, I made your name known to them, and I will continue to make it known, so that the love you have loved me with may be in them and I may be in them. And so someone that the Father sent made Jesus known to you. The Father, in his kindness, gave you a soft, repentant heart. When you heard the gospel, you realized you were lost. When you heard the gospel, you wanted nothing more than to give your life to Jesus. And when you heard the gospel, faith welled up in you as a gift from God. Repentance is a gift from God. We know this in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It tells us God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. And in John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus reminds us that no one can come to him unless the Father who sent Jesus draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. As we look at this prayer about all these gives and givens, the next thing that we see is that it was Jesus' words that were given. So the Father gave Jesus a people, and the Father gave Jesus words to preach. And these words were words that Jesus received from the Father. And then the disciples received the words, and they had confidence that Jesus is from the Father. And they have believed that the Father sent the Son. So everything that Jesus said, the Father instructed him to say. Jesus communicated truth, the character of God, the will of God, the intent of God, the identity of God through words to his disciples. The disciples received those words, believed those words, and believed in Jesus and became believers. So we wrap up this morning a little bit as we move towards the last couple of verses, but in verse 9, it says, I pray for them, and he says something curious. I'm not praying for the world. Now, does that mean Jesus never prayed for the world? No. In fact, in John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. But here in this moment, Jesus is not praying for the world. He has a higher purpose in this prayer. He's praying, and we'll see next week, he begins to pray for the protection and the unity of the disciples that he leaves behind. He says, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for these. F.F. Bruce says this. If he does not pray for the world, it's not because he had no concern for the world. He is indeed the Savior of the world. But the salvation of the world depends on the witness of those whom the Father has given him out of the world. And it is they who need his intercession at this junction. So Jesus prays for his disciples. When he ascends into heaven and then he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell within him, they will need to remember his words. One of the things that Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would do would be to remind them of everything that he had said. Remind them of Jesus' words. Where did Jesus get his words? From the Father. And then he would commission them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of, and teaching them to obey everything he had commanded them. And we notice here in verse 10, this beautiful picture of stewardship. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. I'm glorified in them. It just shows that all of the Father's limitless resources and authority were given to Jesus so that the Son would be glorified. And we know that the Son in turn would glorify the Father. And so the Father sent the Son, who sends us with the authority and the limitless resources of the Father. Sometimes churches get wrapped up and bound up about church budgets and money and expenses and things like that. And sometimes we can be victim of looking at the bottom line. And we can say, well, we don't have the money or the resources to do that. But here's the reality. The Father has limitless resources. And the Father will provide for everything that he guides a church to do. He'll provide through his people. He'll provide through some of the strangest ways. But God will provide in every way that he guides the church to fulfill the mission of making his name known to the world. So when the disciples are told to go and make disciples, Jesus prefaces his sending of them with a reminder that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so as we look at John 17, we realize he's praying for his disciples. And he's praying some important things for them. So let's look at some thoughts for us as we wrap up today. How can we walk away with just some takeaways for our Mondays and Thursdays and our evenings and our mornings? First thing is just a reminder is that Jesus prayed. We have an entire chapter of Jesus praying, but as we said last week, the disciples knew that it was Jesus' practice to go out early in the morning and pray in solitary places by himself. Jesus modeled prayer. Therefore, we as followers of Jesus should also be people of prayer. It should be a reminder to each one of us to grow in our prayer lives, to grow in the amount of time we spend in prayer, but also the type of content that we pray for, to expand our prayers beyond just give me a good day and bless this food, but begin to pray for, as the girls shared earlier, for the people of Istanbul, the people of Turkey. We pray for the people of Guatemala. Next Sunday, we'll be praying over one of our teams that's going out to Guatemala. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our communities. We pray for our nation. We pray for our enemies because Jesus instructed us to do so. Jesus prayed, and so that's a lesson that we too should pray and grow in our enjoyment of praying. And try this. Don't just pray by yourself. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your family. If you look at your calendar and say, well, this is interesting. I've got Tuesday night completely free. invite someone over for supper, but then say, hey, after supper, let's spend a few moments in prayer together. Now, if they're a lost neighbor, don't do that, okay? But perhaps we might grow in our prayer lives together. Second thing that we pull out is the primacy of Jesus' intent was to bring glory to his Father. All that Jesus did was to bring glory to his Father. All that Jesus did was to make his Father's name known. So that is also our life mission as well, to bring glory to the Father, to make the name of God known. Another thing we can take away is the revealing and making known of God's name is our mission and it's our joy as modern disciples. We get to do this. We also take away, if you believe upon Jesus, you belong to the Father. That means we have security in our relationship with him. If you've cast your faith upon Christ, no one can snatch you out of his hands. And then we've learned that the Father's limitless resources and authority are given to the Son, who then sends us. And I don't know about you, but it should be a great encouragement to you that we are prayed for by Jesus. Jesus wasn't just praying for those disciples. He was also praying for all who would believe in him through their words. And the last thing I would encourage you to do, I think is a great takeaway, is just use your words this week. Sometimes in conversations, you're like, and you stumble around and you don't know what you're supposed to be saying. But if you're going to be a Jesus people, use your words. Talk to people about how much you love Christ. Talk to people about what a difference he makes in your life. The comfort and the purpose and the hope, even in times of hardship and turmoil, that Jesus brings to your life. And if you're sitting there this morning and you're like, I'm not experiencing anything about Jesus that I would talk to someone else about, you might want to ask if you're a Jesus person. Not someone that just attends church. Not someone that has a great Southern Baptist pedigree or a great Methodist pedigree or whatever it may be. But if you don't have anything in your life that you could brag on Jesus about, if you're not experiencing the love of Christ in your life, it probably means there's either a belief problem that you don't truly believe in the name of Jesus and in his person and in the name of God, or it means that there's a sin problem. There's something in your life that's hindering your fellowship and your enjoyment of your relationship with Christ, and that needs to be dealt with ASAP. Whether praying to the Father for confession or gathering someone that you know and trust and saying, hey, I need some help working through some stuff. But Jesus people are intended to experience and enjoy their relationships with the Father. It's not meant to be religious service or church attendance. It's meant to be a vibrant love relationship with the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us this morning. And as I pray, our worship team is going to come up and close us in worship. But as we pray, it's probably important for us to remember the things we prayed earlier after we sang about, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And I had you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray some things to the Father. I want you to think back to what you prayed about or prayed for. Perhaps it's time to pray again in the same way or pray a little bit differently. But let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's spend a few moments in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reality that we have the very words of your Son Jesus in prayer. And we thank you for the richness and the revelation of the content of this prayer and how much it encourages us and nurtures us and teaches us. And Father, we want to be a people that is after your name, that loves to make you known to others. And Lord, we want to be a people that personally enjoys each and every day being in your hand, confident that no one can snatch us out, forgiven, secure, righteous, and redeemed because of your Son, Jesus. God, we just can't say enough about him. We thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for placing my sin and our sin upon his cross. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us to Jesus and that we are eternally secure because of his authority and his power. We love you, Lord. Father, we pray that if there's someone in this room today that needs to get things right with you, that they'd begin doing that this morning. Even in their prayers as they sit there after our service, they seek out one of our leaders or someone in their family or friend and just say, I need some help. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to fall in love with him today. I want to turn my life over to him afresh or firstly. We pray that you would do that. Move in their heart. Give them courage to do that. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.